How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And yes, it is Sunday, January 26, 2014. What does that mean? It is Royal Rumble Sunday, the biggest WWE pay-per-view, aside from WrestleMania, all year long. This is the show where if you are a wrestling fan and you only buy two pay-per-views a year, well, the two pay-per-views you buy are Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. 30-man over-the-top Royal Rumble. The winner is guaranteed, according to Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, a title shot at WrestleMania. In the first hour here, Mike Sempervivi and I are going to be running down all of the matches on the show. We'll give you our predictions. We'll talk so much information about the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. And then in hour two, we'll be talking the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, WWE, all of the latest news with a very special guest who I will be revealing here on this program very shortly. Always good to leave everybody in a little bit of suspense. When we come back from the break, what we are going to do is kick it off talking very briefly about the UFC on Fox show last night. And I'm talking very brief, less than 5 minutes, and then on to the Royal Rumble. There's a lot of news coming out of the show. There's a lot of speculation. We'll give you all of the people that are officially announced for the Royal Rumble thus far. We'll talk about all the other matches on the show as well, how this might play into WrestleMania, and weird things are going on with the odds. We shall talk about that. We're also going to take your phone calls a little later on, predictions for the Royal Rumble. And as always, you can contact us on Twitter. Our live hashtag for all of our live programming, hashtag F4WLive. I will be monitoring that throughout the show, getting your questions, comments, all that kind of good stuff. So when we come back from the break, a quick UFC on Fox update, and then on to the WWE Royal Rumble preview. So much stuff to talk about, so stick by that dial, everybody. 2 straight hours of pro wrestling today here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Jumping the gun on my own intro here today. We got so much stuff to get into. It's actually ridiculous. 2 hours is not enough time, but we only got 2 hours, so let's get right into it. We're going to be talking the Royal Rumble pay-per-view today, second biggest WWE pay-per-view of the year, which I guess is, as far as pro wrestling goes, makes it the second biggest pay-per-view of the year because nothing comes close. We're going to be talking about that pay-per-view here today on the show with Mike Sempervivi and taking your phone calls and your Twitter questions, etc., starting in the next segment. However, for the next 10 minutes, we got a lot of stuff to get into. And Mike, what's going on here today?
Not a whole lot. See, so much to talk about. You're just ready to plow through the bumpers and get right into it.
I'm just plowing through everything here today. It's a big
good
day.
For you.
I got three shows today. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but you got two more opportunities to hear me ranting before the day is out. And depending on what happens at the Royal Rumble, there may be mega ranting coming. We shall see. But let's start very quickly because we do have to talk about it at least momentarily. UFC on Fox last night. Not going to spend a lot of time on this. The main show was not exactly the most exciting main show I've ever seen. In fact, it was it's pretty boring overall, quite frankly. But the big news was in the main event of the show, it was Josh Thompson and Ben Henderson. They had a fight. I was expecting a better fight. It probably would have been a better fight, except Josh Thompson broke his hand in the first round. And with one hand, I thought, along with a lot of other people, that he should have won this decision. But it went 5 rounds. It's Ben Henderson. As my buddy Wang explained to me after the show, he said, you should know better than to ever bet on a Ben Henderson fight. If it goes to the judges, Ben Henderson is going to win. And you know what? He's right. But still, it irritated me. So Ben Henderson beats Josh Thompson. Josh Thompson now very upset. He lost his championship match that it was expected he was going to get against Anthony Pettis when Pettis is able to return. And now he's talking retirement. So a pretty depressing ending, quite frankly. I think Josh Thompson is an excellent fighter. Just an excellent fighter. Here's a guy, he broke his hand, he had a terrible camp, but he's such a great fighter. There are some fighters where, in order to win, you have to have your best camp, it's got to be a great stylistic matchup, the whole gamut. Josh Thompson is a guy who's just a great fighter. Not the best camp, broken hand, he still went out there, and I thought beat Ben Henderson via decision. But again, at the end of the day, the reality is, do not leave it in the hands of the judges. because you never know what's going to happen. You may get the guy who decides that Ben Henderson actually won 4 out of the 5 rounds, which is one of the more ridiculous cards that I have ever seen. So Josh Thompson beating or losing to Ben Henderson, his future in question. And the only other real excitement on the main card was Donald Cerrone knocking out Adriano Martins with a high kick to the neck. Kicked him right in the neck and knocked him out. So that was quite spectacular. I had someone contacting me on Twitter saying, I DVR'd the show. What should I watch? Well, watch the Donald Cerrone knockout and watch the main event. Let me know who you thought won. I thought it was Josh Thompson, but you know how things go in fights. And Mike, you didn't get a chance to see the show, did you?
No, unfortunately not. I was actually driving back from Virginia, and usually they have the fights. The UFC on Fox shows, up until the last one, I believe, have always been simulcast on Fox Sports Radio. And apparently there's some sort of change or shakeup at Fox Sports Radio where that didn't end up happening, so I didn't get a chance to see it. I walk right into the beginning of the press conference, though, where Josh Thompson, obviously 35 years old, he has been around. You know, you look at his record and you go, well, 26 fights, and you think about this day and age, it doesn't seem like a lot of fights, but he comes from that early era. He started fighting in 2001. He's 35 years old, and he was really frustrated and upset. But, like, not leave it in the hands of the judges, even though the judges were completely incompetent in this case, at least from all appearances, Sal D'Amato was, to have it 4-1 for Ben Henderson. But again, this is what, 4 of his last 5 fights Ben Henderson's had. I mean, you know, a Frankie Edgar fan is going to say he never beat him at all anyway. And he had the Gilbert Melendez fight and now this fight with Thompson. So it's just one of those things that you can't blame Ben Henderson for it. But actually put him out, you got to do something, because you know, do what Pettis did. You're gonna have to do what Pettis did, you know, submit him, figure out a way to get him out of there, because if you don't, it goes into decision. He seems to have a style that makes the judges happy.
All right, the Royal Rumble is today, everybody. As noted, it is the second biggest pay-per-view of the year for WWE. What we're gonna do is we're gonna start off with a Royal Rumble preview here. And then in a bit, we're going to take a look at the odds for the Royal Rumble. There have been some swings. Now, granted, I know some people don't want to hear the odds, because usually whatever the odds makers say, that's what happens. But at this point in the show, it doesn't matter, because the real swings usually occur at about 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, when the final script is turned in and ready to go, and there's no more time for changes. I shouldn't say that. You can always make a change on the fly if you really want to. But usually by about 4:30, that's when we really know, okay, this is what's going to happen on the show. Right now, things are probably going to change, so these are not necessarily spoilers yet. And quite frankly, odds or no odds, I think most people have a pretty good idea of who is likely to win the Royal Rumble, who is absolutely not going to win the Royal Rumble. And we'll start off with the big match. 30-man, over-the-top Royal Rumble. 30 competitors, all entering at likely 2-minute intervals, but who knows? Based on how the Royal Rumble is constructed, the intervals can be very random. But the odds-on favorite, not just via the odds makers, but via fans, it has been expected for some time, Big Dave Batista returning, winning the Royal Rumble, and going on to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Mike, is this your expectation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially with the way that they re-debuted Batista on Monday night, coming out looking like a big jacked up version of Pitbull, and his tight little Adidas white shirt and the glasses and the whole nine yards, and came out and Randy, and you know, it seems to be that would be the direction they would want to go for WrestleMania, is have Batista and Randy Orton in a world title match. And you know, there are going to be some surprises in this Rumble. We know most of the names. There are some names we're not sure about, but even with any of the extra surprises that could be in there, it's really hard to believe that Batista wouldn't be the one that goes ahead and wins this thing.
Now, the odds have been very interesting. Right now, at this moment, the favorite to win the Royal Rumble in the odds is Batista. However, shooting up, nearly tied with Batista right now as a potential winner of the Royal Rumble, is guess who, Mike?
I would say Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, at this moment, is not even officially in the Royal Rumble.
Well, I mean, look at the possibilities again, and this is a stretch as we sit here right now. You have a million and one possibilities with Daniel Bryan. They've begrudgingly, you know, taken the Wyatt thing back off of him. And again, him winning the Royal Rumble but not main eventing WrestleMania is possible, or him winning the Royal Rumble and not getting a world title match, that's even me, because, hey, Batista can still face Randy Orton. You know, Bryan wins the Rumble. You continue on with H and Stephanie are trying to screw him or something like that, and he has a different match at WrestleMania. That's a complete, you know, that's completely possible.
One possibility that I think is, I don't want to say it's likely, but it's possible, is that currently Randy Orton is the favorite to beat John Cena. He's a minus 600 favorite, which means at the moment, Randy Orton is winning. Now, this could change. It has changed before in the past at about 7:30 Eastern, as I've noted. But you could do something where John Cena beats Randy Orton to win the title, Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble, and you have your SummerSlam rematch as a main event at WrestleMania. Now, the idea at this point for WrestleMania is that it is going to be John Cena against Bray Wyatt. That's right. John Cena against Bray Wyatt. Daniel Bryan would be facing, get ready, Sheamus, and Randy Orton would be facing Batista. Now, when I look at that card, and I look at it from the perspective of your casual fan, that card does not excite me very much. But when I look at the possibility of maybe a Daniel Bryan-John Cena match for the title, a little more exciting. But we're going to talk about these possibilities when we come back from the break. We got a lot of stuff, everybody. 2 full hours here at Wrestling Observer Live. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday on Wrestling Observer Live, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app, the TuneIn Radio website, which apparently was down for the first segment. Apparently, it is back up now, as well as the Armed Forces, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, and more. The most listened to live wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We are here talking the Royal Rumble. In hour two, yes, we are going to be joined by Jim Ross. He's got a lot of stuff to talk about today, including an upcoming podcast he's going to be doing, the Royal Rumble. We'll talk about WWE, all of the news in pro wrestling. That's coming up in hour two. Here in this hour, we are taking phone calls. The phone number, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Phone lines are up and working again. Apparently, we had some issues last week, but I got it fixed. And also, Twitter, hashtag F4WLive. If you'd like to contact us on Twitter, don't want to call in. Now, Mike, the odds have been moving throughout the afternoon. CM Punk is now nearly even with Big Dave Batista as a potential winner for the Royal Rumble. So I don't know if they're making a lot of decisions. I don't know if they're telling people certain things. I don't know if they're messing with the writing crew. I don't know what they're doing. I still expect Big Dave Batista to win, but it looks like there are other possibilities.
Hey, you know, I guess if you're sitting there as a fan, that's really what you want to hear is, you know, you don't want to know everything going into it. In fact, somebody lamented to me earlier on today, why would I want to watch this? You know, I watch Raw and I know Batista's going to win it. Yeah, that looks to be the way they're going to go and everything. But, you know, at least bringing in some question into some things. And you can make a case, look, with the way that things have gone with CM Punk, Punk Triple H at WrestleMania, Punk Randy Orton at WrestleMania. There's lots of things you can do with Daniel Bryan, with CM Punk, with Dave Batista, where all of which could be possibilities to win this thing.
Let's go to the phone, see what you're thinking. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Going once. Going twice. You're gone. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? You are on the air. Man, we got some good callers here today. The Randy Orton-John Cena match for the WWE title. Randy Orton is the favorite at this point. Obviously, anything can happen. Your thoughts on how they do a finish. There must be a winner. Pinfall or submission only. No outside. I guess you could have outside interference, but no DQ, no count out. What do you do if the idea is that Randy Orton is winning this match, Mike?
To me, there's got to be some sort of chicanery that takes place because they do want to, you know, protect John Cena. You know, it was kind of funny when they first announced this. It was going to be after everything they've gone through, after already having their last match ever. They were going to have another last match ever, but this time it was going to be a wrestling match. So, you know, obviously Cena's not going to lose. I cannot see him losing in just a flat, clean fashion and Randy Orton come see that happening. There must be a winner. I just think there's going to be some sort of curveball, whether it's somebody who comes back tonight or just happens to be hanging out there that throws the curveball or not. It's going to be a dirty victory, but it's a dirty victory for Randy Orton.
All right, let's try the phones again. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what's up?
Well, it's a big night, I hope. Hope it's exciting for everyone. And I am thinking that the final four men in the Rumble will be CM Punk, Batista, Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan. And I actually do expect Daniel Bryan, if he is in it, to win, simply because for them to make that sudden change all of a sudden before and then to do nothing with him, you know, the heel turn, the quick face turn, I feel like they're going to at least do something. And I think Bryan's going to win.
I think Daniel,
that's
so,
all I got to say about that.
So would you say Daniel Bryan, John Cena, WrestleMania?
Well, I was thinking about that. I was watching a match earlier today from 2002 between Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, and the American Badass and Hell in a Cell, and it was very violent, brutal, more violent than many ECW matches I've seen in the past. And I'm thinking, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but I think it might be a mistake to put Undertaker and Lesnar in reality simply because of the risk of injury and stuff like that. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I think if they want to be creative, they'll have Cena win tonight, they'll have Bryan win tonight, and then at Elimination Chamber, they'll have Lesnar win the title and face Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and then for Undertaker, put Cena in there with Undertaker. Now, I'm sure most of this stuff probably not going to happen, but hey, a guy can fantasize, right?
All right, I want to thank you very much for the call. That would absolutely be out of left field, a Daniel Bryan-Brock Lesnar championship match at WrestleMania, but hey, anything can happen.
Tell you what, though, you know, he does make a point in that something could happen at Elimination Chamber where, look, Daniel Bryan goes ahead and wins and you go, OK, you know, we got it back again, you know, all of his fans and, you know, you can build it up that way. And he, you know, for some reason, he gets his match earlier against Randy Orton in Elimination Chamber. And there's some sort of screw job there. Again, Elimination Chamber, this is why it's kind of funny. We talk about the scripting of this thing taking so long and the fact that a half hour before what in theory is the second biggest show of the year. And some could say the biggest show of the year because you're setting all of these, you know, tables up for WrestleMania and starting the dominoes to fall for your biggest show of the year. That it takes so long and there's so much question over what could possibly happen from their end. It's amazing.
To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Matt from Pittsburgh, Brian.
Matt, what's up?
Got a crazy scenario for the Rumble.
All right.
Long shot.
All right.
Warriors music hits. He runs down. He clotheslines four guys that don't really matter. Jumps over the top rope and runs to the back. What do you guys think?
Eliminates himself?
Yeah, exactly. He's such a madman. He just does that.
Well, I don't expect the Warrior to be in the Royal Rumble, but I can tell you that the idea has been broached for Warrior to do a match at WrestleMania, perhaps with, of all people, the Ryback.
No way. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, way.
technical masterpiece ready to come.
Yes. I mean, of all the opponents, that would be low on my list, but hey, that's what's been discussed.
Good stuff, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks so much for the call. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this? You're not on the air. That's right. Ryback and the Warrior at WrestleMania, Mike. Think about that possibility.
It's a scary possibility, although I'll say this. I could see something wacky like that happening that ultimate elimination of Roman Reigns, you know, because you don't want him to be hurt by anybody necessarily that's on the roster. And I think a lot of people...
Warrior throwing out Roman Reigns?
Just you know, some...
Come on,
like
you've lost your mind.
But I'll say, look,
are you writing Impact?
Here, I'll say this. No matter what happens with Roman Reigns, I think Roman Reigns, if he doesn't break the record, he comes very close to throwing out maybe like Kane had 11, and I think Austin and Hogan had 10. I could see Roman Reigns, no matter how he goes out of this thing, he has 10 or 11 eliminations before he's finally done, including Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins.
I do expect that. I do expect that. All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim?
Oh, we got two big title changes in women's wrestling over the weekend. Barbie Hayden captured the NWA Women's World title from Casey Carlisle on Friday night. And I believe Velez won the Shine wrestling title from Reign on Friday night also.
Ivelisse?
Yeah, Ivelisse, I'm sorry.
Wow.
But she beat Reign on, I believe it was Friday night. And the other match, I believe, was last night where Barbie Hayden won the NWA Women's World title.
Well, there you go. Who do you think's winning the Rumble?
I think Batista probably, like you guys were talking about, or like I said, Daniel Bryan. Because, you know, now Cena's not in the Rumble, is he?
Not at this point, but anything's possible.
Well, you know, if he was in there, you know, that you never can say he wouldn't win it. But I hope to dear God they don't go with Cena and Bray Wyatt at the Rumble.
You mean a Mania?
Mania.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the other two, of all three of those matches, none of them really jump out. Batista and Randy Orton, I think, would be pretty good.
Batista, Randy Orton. Yeah, he's probably going to get it.
Yep. All right, have a good one.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Ken from New Jersey.
Ken, what's up?
Not much.
Who's winning the Rumble?
What you thought about. Huh?
Who's winning the Rumble, first off?
Oh, I didn't know I was on there yet. I'm sorry. Well, that's kind of what I'm calling. I mean, if it's Batista, is it really worth watching? If it's Daniel Bryan, like people think is going to happen, that's going to make it interesting. I'm, you know, seeing what you guys think. Is it going to be worth getting?
Always. The Royal Rumble is virtually always worth getting. I mean, there's always going to be people upset about it. But no matter what happens, some people are going to be upset. I don't have a... I can't tell you whether or not you're going to like it, but it's usually a fun pay-per-view.
Okay. What do you think about the rest of the card? Do you think the matches are going to be pretty good?
It's looking like it's going to be... Well, let's look at this. Randy Orton, John Cena... they usually always have a good match. It's a match we've seen a million times. I don't expect it to be a bad match. Rumble's always well-booked and fun. Big Show Brock Lesnar will hopefully just be Brock completely destroying him. And Brock Lesnar destroying people is often fun. It depends on how they work the match. And Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt, I'm sure will be a good match. They've been working at house shows. They did a house show match last night, so they are preparing for it. But I don't know. I don't look at the card and say and think it's going to be a bad show. But they have had a streak of bad shows since SummerSlam, so I suppose anything is possible. We'll talk about this more after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here on Wrestling Observer Live every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. TuneIn Radio, apparently the phone app is working. There have been sporadic issues on the website. American Forces Network, the cable radio network, and so much more. We are doing a live two-hour Royal Rumble pre-show. And tonight, immediately following the Royal Rumble, 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, we will have a live Royal Rumble post-show. Where can you hear it? F4WLive.com. Write that down. F4WLive.com tonight, 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. I'm sorry, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. The live Royal Rumble post-show will be going down all the results of all of the matches and so much more. And then later on, at 3 a.m. Eastern, midnight Pacific, myself and Dave Meltzer up with another live show, also at F4WLive.com. So if you are in the Royal Rumble mood, hours and hours of live audio talking about it here tonight. And of course, if you miss any of it, you can sign up at WrestlingObserver.com as low as $9.99 a month. And for that price, you get full access to every show we've ever done. If you miss a live show, it's up on the front page as a downloadable, podcastable program within about 10 minutes. So a subscription is the best way to make sure you never miss a show. So check it out, f4wlive.com, as well as wrestlingobserver.com. We got a million people calling in. We are looking for your Royal Rumble predictions. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
What's up, Dave?
Two things. Do you think we'll see Sting tonight? And what do you think Kofi's wacky token Royal Rumble spot will be this year?
I don't think we're going to see Sting, but anything is possible. And as far as Kofi, I don't know what it's going to be. I am waiting for the year where he is eliminated doing it. Something will inevitably go wrong at some point, and he will be eliminated. I don't know.
I think they should actually do that sooner rather than later. Say, like, and I'm not saying he is going to come back tonight, but let's say Evan Bourne, say, were to come back as this, as a surprise. You could have Kofi, like, doing something outside the ring, and Roman Reigns just picks up Evan and throws him on top of Kofi, knocking him over. Because even though it's a pratfall, the Royal Rumble is full of comedy. You know, I'm not saying full of comedy spots, but you've had the Warlord or Santino, or there's been, you know, different things here and there where it's gotten some chuckles and some laughs. Why not do that?
Well, here's the thing, because fans love reality in their pro wrestling, and the entire Royal Rumble is a gimmick. It's a work from start to finish. But you know what's real? Is Kofi trying to get his stunt and not screw up. So I think that he should attempt it every single year until he finally fails, purely because he really failed. I think it's going to be a spot that will get more and more over every year. And I guess, you know, we see how long he can go before he inevitably breaks his own streak.
I love Kofi. I think you're overselling Kofi's, the reality. I think people have a reality of where Kofi is right now. And I think Evan Bourne getting thrown on top of him, people would believe.
No, come on. He's just got to. What was your other question there, Dave?
It was Sting.
Oh, it was Sting, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I attended the Aegon 3 today for the Shoot Pro Wrestling.
I want to thank you very much for the call. I do think that you may not see Sting, but I do believe there is a possibility, not as a Rumble participant, but I do think it is possible that you will see Hulk Hogan. Dan here says, Bryan has a 0% chance of winning the Rumble. Cena Bryan got a low buy rate. Orton Bryan done lots. Bryan small and off concussion. That's his thoughts. I don't think you can completely write him out. People, these odds aren't what they are just purely due to speculation. There's almost always something behind it. So at some point, the idea has been broached that he wins the Royal Rumble. I don't know if that's exactly what's going to happen today, but it's possible. It's possible. We'll know more in 1 hour when the final odds start coming in. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's the return of Ed in San Antonio to Wrestling Observer Live.
Oh, my God. We've been waiting for a decade, Ed. What's up?
Not too much. I heard Jim was on a little while ago, and I want to send Jim a message. He really needs to go out of his way to order that Shine pay-per-view, because I watched it, and it was one of the best pay-per-views I've seen all year. And they did an awesome Four Horsemen Evolution-style angle to end the show that was just 5 stars, and I really want to put over that Shine pay-per-view.
You ordered the Shine pay-per-view?
Yes, I did. I actually put a little money in Gabe Sapolsky's pocket. Yes, I did.
How about that? Well, good job, Ed. Congratulations. What? Who's winning the Rumble?
I would really love for Bryan to win the Rumble, because I really don't want to see Bryan. I don't want to see him wrestle Sheamus for a third time at WrestleMania, but I'm pretty sure they're going to go with Batista. Especially after that rating, I mean, it'd be hard to argue that. But I'm kind of hoping for Bryan, but we'll see what happens.
All right, I want to thank you very much for the call. We've apparently there is one bookmaker in the UK that now has Daniel Bryan as the favorite to win the Royal Rumble. It is not out of the realm of possibility, everybody. Although they could just kind of be messing with everybody. We will know, as I noted, within about an hour. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is winning the Royal Rumble? You are on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, hey, Brian. Hey, I was wondering about Brock Lesnar. I haven't heard you guys say that. Say his name for the Royal Rumble. And we've got a draft for our Royal Rumble pool at our party tonight, and he was my pick, so I didn't know what kind of shot I had with him.
Of Brock Lesnar winning the Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar...
If he comes in, it's a surprise. I do get points.
I see. I don't know if you're going to see...
But you also get a lot more if he wins. So that was kind of my point of calling.
Well, I honest to God don't think he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. I mean, it's possible he'll be there as a surprise, but I think you're putting your money on a guy who's not involved.
Okay.
I hate to break it to you. But hey,
yeah, I think even as, and again, and I can understand why people would think that since we're talking about surprises and people like Daniel Bryan who could be working twice or CM Punk who could be working, or not CM Punk, but Daniel Bryan who could be working twice on the show. Brock Lesnar, just because of the way things are framed right now, seems to be the longest of the long shots of guys who would be there that would probably be a surprise entrant in the Rumble.
Okay, and my one more quick question was, I've read online there's about, I don't know, 10 to 15 different random names. And I was wondering about Jeff Hardy.
He's still under contract with TNA.
So it's not worth putting my money on him, huh?
Do not put your money on Jeff Hardy.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Jeff Hardy is off TNA right now because they are taping 8 weeks of television in the UK. And because of his arrest issues here in the U.S., he is not able to get into the UK, and so that is why he is not currently working on Impact Wrestling. Matthew here is very upset I have not announced a special guest yet. Matthew is not paying attention. The special guest is Jim Ross, as was announced several minutes ago. So Jim Ross is going to be on the program in hour number two. We'll talk about the Royal Rumble, take your calls with Jim Ross as well. So it should be a good time. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this, and who is winning the Royal Rumble? Caller, you are on the air. Caller's having a hard time figuring out these phones today. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Tony Iannuzzi, Tequesta, Florida.
Tony, what's up? Who's winning the Rumble?
I think it's Daniel Bryan, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
I think that Cena, Orton, Batista's going to come down, distract Orton enough for Cena to get the upper hand and win the belt. And then later on, due to late numbers, the final two will be Bryan and Batista. Orton will come out and distract Batista long enough for Bryan to sucker kick Batista over the top rope, and there you have Cena versus Bryan for the WrestleMania.
Bryan's going to win via super kick over the top rope?
Sucker kick.
Oh, soccer kick. I was going to say, I was with you until the super kick, but now it's been cleared up. Hey, I would not be averse to a Daniel Bryan John Cena championship match at WrestleMania, but... we shall see. That is certainly a very possible scenario. I want to thank you very much for the call. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and who is winning the Royal Rumble?
This is Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas. And not getting the Rumble tonight, but if I was a betting man, I would try to say Batista. But I would rather see CM Punk win it myself to go number one and go all the way. But probably Batista, I guess.
So,
that would make the most sense.
So if CM Punk wins, who does he challenge for the title at Mania? Randy Orton?
I kind of see maybe Batista getting the strap before that, and maybe Batista Punk at the Rumble. I think they are friends, I think, and Punk's been kind of more kind to him than he has been to The Rock and some of the other people that have come back for short periods of time. So maybe they're meeting at Mania. I know Punk really wants that Mania main event to go on last, so maybe that. I'd rather not see Batista in the title hunt, though, but that's probably way out of my hands, and he probably will be in the title hunt.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. It is, in fact, out of your hands. I got to tell you this, everybody, and Mike, I don't know if you saw the Ariel Helwani interview with CM Punk.
No, I have not yet.
Well, he asked him about Dave Batista, and he was talking about how Dave Batista is, in fact, a purple belt in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Cesar Gracie's mm-hmm. given him his purple belt. And CM Punk has done some Jiu-Jitsu training as well. He is a white belt, although he buried the idea of belts in general. But he was asked, could you beat Dave Batista in a Jiu-Jitsu match? And Punk just nonchalantly said, of course I could beat Dave Batista. And I don't know. I just heard that and I thought, Okay, so obviously Batista and CM Punk are going to have a feud down the road. Because there's no reason that you say something like that as flippantly as he did without there being something behind it. You know what I mean?
Well, hell, why? These things, isn't he?
He's what?
He seems to be good for these things, isn't he?
Ariel Helwani?
Well, just because you remember Brock Lesnar and Undertaker after all of these years, now we're talking about it for WrestleMania.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think Batista's winning and Punk is winning the title, or however, whatever the scenario was, it leads to CM Punk versus Dave Batista. I guess Punk wins Rumble, Batista wins belt, so Punk and Batista for the belt at WrestleMania. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think we're going to see a Batista-CM Punk feud here at some point.
Well, so. Barry on Twitter threw this one out there, and this has been bandied about a little bit from some people. Any chance Del Rio wins as a swerve, Batista beats him for the spot at the February pay-per-view Elimination Chamber.
That was my prediction a long time ago. I said I don't think that's going to happen, but I was saying if you want a surprise winner that nobody is going to expect and you still want to get Batista in the title match at Mania, then you have Alberto win the Rumble because Alberto and Batista is already scheduled for Elimination Chamber. And then you do Batista-Alberto for the title shot, however you book that. And then Batista wins and he goes on to WrestleMania. I can tell you this. I heard from somebody today in WWE who has he's really kind of got the let's just say that a lot of the ideas so far he's been right on as far as where they're going with storylines, and his feeling is that between now and Mania a lot of stuff's going to go on, let's just put it that way. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that everything that everybody is expecting tonight is not going to happen tonight. And there's going to be a lot of twists and turns leading to the expected card at WrestleMania. Keep in mind, there's going to be an Elimination Chamber for the title. I'm sure Brock is going to be there. All the big names are going to be in there. A lot of things can happen between now and WrestleMania. So the road kicks off tonight. We're going to be back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for another hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We've been taking calls. Who's going to win the Royal Rumble? And we have a caller on the line right now. Who is this? And who is winning the Royal Rumble? Caller, go ahead. These callers can't figure out this phone gimmick. All right, when we come back from the top of the hour break, we are going to be joined in the second segment after the top of the hour, actually, by Jim Ross. We got a lot of stuff to talk about with Jim Ross, not the least of which is the Royal Rumble. Who does JR think is going to win? He's no longer working for WWE. Highly unlikely he has any inside information, but we'll get his predictions on the Royal Rumble, how this leads into WrestleMania, and a number of other topics as well. And Mike, in 30 minutes, it is the Royal Rumble pre-show for WWE, and the New Age Outlaws are going to be fighting for the WWE Tag Team titles against Goldust and Cody Rhodes. And shockingly, or maybe not actually, since I did predict this Monday when Billy Gunn got beaten on Raw, the Outlaws are the favorites to win this match. Do you think they're taking the titles?
Yeah, actually, tonight I thought that they could in February, and then I think the Rhodes brothers defend them at WrestleMania against whoever it is in March.
So the Rhodes family loses tonight, wins next month, and then goes on to WrestleMania.
It may not even be that long. They could win on a Raw coming up here soon, too. But, yeah, definitely believe the Outlaws will win tonight no matter what.
By the way, I guess if you're attempting to listen and can't, then you're not hearing me say this. But those of you trying to stream, head over to sportsbyline.com. That stream is definitely working. So I'll retweet that to everybody, and we'll get a bunch of people listening for hour two as well. So back in just a moment, everybody. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. In the next segment, we are going to be joined by Hall of Famer, the legendary Jim Ross is going to be here on the show. We got so much stuff to talk about. I have been talking the Royal Rumble along with Mike Sempervivi for the last hour now. And about 15 minutes ago, Matt, who was there at the building, sent me a message saying he is at the Rumble. The building is not letting us in yet. I don't know if this is abnormal or not, but the crowd is cold and they are getting restless. So hopefully the crowd is starting to get in right now, because there's only about 20 minutes until the pre-show begins and the tag team title match is scheduled to go on the air. Now, we only have a very limited amount of time here, so very quickly, caller, you are on the air. Who is this and who is winning the Royal Rumble?
Hey, Brian, it's Mike from Brisbane.
Mike, what's up? Who's winning tonight?
The winner's going to be Daniel Bryan. What I think's going to happen is he'll lose his match against Bray, and then he'll come out late, maybe 28, 29, around there. And I just think he'll win the Rumble. He'll go on, win the belt at Mania. I just think the visual of Daniel Bryan winning and leading a yes chant to close out the show with both belts at WrestleMania, that's just something that you can't pass up. And that's what I think they should do. And I think the way they get around the Batista elimination, maybe to protect him, is to have his WrestleMania opponent just sneak in and eliminate him, maybe Brock or Randy. And that's my thoughts on the show.
All right, I want to thank you very much for the call. We are about to head to a break. When we come back, we are going to be joined by Jim Ross. We'll be talking the Royal Rumble and so much more. So stand by, everybody, back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. We stream live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, the TuneIn Radio website and app, iHeart.com, the iHeart Radio website and app, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, the Sirius Satellite Radio app. So many ways to listen to this show. We are talking the WWE Royal Rumble, and we are joined for the rest of the show by Hall of Famer, the legendary Jim Ross is here on the show. And JR, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Now, we're going to talk some WWE and Royal Rumble here in a moment. But first off, if people have been missing the soothing tones of Jim Ross's voice on WWE television, Podcast One is going to be your new home starting in mid-February. Is that correct?
That is the plan. That's the plan. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a fun journey, I think, for us. And it's going to be very interactive. I'm going to take calls from the listeners, and I'm going to have guests, and I think it'll be a real cool podcast to listen to, and we're going to work real hard to make it entertaining. So that's the plan is mid-February on Wednesdays.
Mid-February on Wednesdays. And this is the same Podcast One, of course, for those of you that have heard the Steve Austin podcast, the Chris Jericho podcast, both of which highly recommended. And your show will be Wednesday. And I know that I don't want you to give away all of the scoops here, but I know that you have talked about wanting to do a show that is different from what you hear on a lot of other podcasts. And do you have any details you'd like to reveal right now about that?
Well, I just think that the way that I can be different and approach the audience differently is to interact with them. And so I think, you know, taking calls and communicating with the audience, the fans, is a good thing. So I'm looking at being very interactive with the fans and also having almost like the equivalent of a sit-down one-on-one interview with various sundry people. And you know, it's kind of a crazy deal. You go through your contact list on your trusty little iPad, and you can line up a pretty good list of guests off the contact list. And then you start thinking about it, and it's been kind of fun. So I think we'll have some good guests, and all of them will be, well, and all of them might not be from the world of wrestling. Actually, they're not going to be. So, but we're not going to forsake our target demo, and that's wrestling fans.
Now, a lot of newer fans may not be aware that you have actually done a fair amount of radio. You've done radio shows for WCW and WWE, I believe, WWF. And when did you first start doing radio? And as someone who had done a lot of commentary and that sort of thing, you've worn many hats, as you have said. What are your thoughts on live radio and in this podcast? Obviously, it'll be kind of like a, you know, it's live radio. I call it radio, even if it's a podcast. Are you excited to return to this sort of work?
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely. You know, once you get the, I think I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I think I've worked so regularly for all these years that, you know, it's just hard to say, well, I'll just flip the switch and you're done. I'm always thinking about stuff, and I've always got concepts and ideas, and I think it kind of gets me to reconnect with the audience, which I think is great, and we can produce something that'll hopefully be fun to listen to and fun to engage. So, you know, I started doing radio in college as one of my three jobs I had to work my way through school, working at a little radio station in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, doing, and then it was called Northeastern State Redmen, but of course that's politically incorrect, so I think they're called the Riverhawks now. So I've been, you know, a fan of radio, and that's how it really got me really interested in broadcasting, was having a transistor radio when you're, I was a little kid growing up in rural Oklahoma, listening to KMOX out of St. Louis with Jack Buck and Harry Carey, and they were so descriptive with their calls. And that kind of helped me, because when I started doing play-by-play, which is what we called it then, that was with Leroy McGurk. So my color analyst was a blind man. So I had to be a little bit more descriptive in how I went about my broadcasting business.
Sure.
So, you know, it was, so I'm looking forward to all this stuff. It's going to be, it's good to be able to have different guests on, talk about different things, then talk to the fans. It kind of brings you full circles. I'm looking forward to that. And you know, to be honest about it, it creates a situation where I can use the platform at Fox or the platform at Podcast One, to my website, Twitter, and all that stuff to promote, these one-man shows. So I'm, one thing should feed the other. It should be like a little territory. That's what I'm trying to work on here. I got,
sure,
you know, little entrepreneurial aspects of this, you know, redesigning OJR, moving him out there to get some work done.
Now, you are no longer with WWE, as everyone listening to this is well aware. But when everything went down and you were no longer with the company, there were a lot of people that thought, okay, this has happened before. The network is going to launch eventually. And inevitably, when this network launches, if they have any clue, they're going to want Jim Ross back, because there's a lot of ways that you can contribute to a network. And I met Steve Austin actually for the first time at the WWE Network launch. And one of my questions to him, because his podcast was so popular, was, have they talked to you about maybe doing a some sort of sit-down show, sort of a video-style podcast for the WWE Network? And I don't know if anything like that has even crossed your mind, but have they contacted you about possibly doing some things with the network?
No, we haven't had any chats about the network. I'd be happy to listen. You know, it doesn't take a, you know, you'd be pretty stupid not to listen. So I would certainly listen to whatever they have to say if they are interested. But you know, without that situation, my dance card's getting filled up, which is a good thing.
Sure,
that's the thing I really wanted to manage, was not having any time off. I don't want to get back into the grind I had got accustomed to for years. You know, where it's almost like a 7-day-a-week rotation. So I want to stay busy, but I don't want to go crazy here in this new JR deal. You know, just be smart. Plus, I got to be done by September. I pick up my dates, because I'm not going to miss any football games.
That's right. That's right.
Priorities in line, you know. So that's kind of the deal. But you know, I'd listen. Sure, I'd listen to anybody that has an idea to be able to. You know, you're out there. Been out there getting gigs, and you're trying to develop things and develop little areas that you think that you have some expertise in, so you don't turn, as my dad would say, you don't turn nothing down but the covers. You know, you go to work, and that's kind of how I've always approached it. So if somebody's got a gig that I can work on that I want to be a part of, and I'm interested in, then, you know, why not listen?
Now, Jim, we're going to talk about your ringside gigs coming up here. But before that, you know, you seem to be going to write a blog for Fox Sports. You did the first one on, I believe it was Mae Young. Is that something you're going to continue to do, especially football season, which is obviously one of your big passions?
Yeah, Fox Sports online people talk to me about, you know, probably not being one-dimensional. I really came to them wanting to be more diverse, that I had interest in other areas, that, you know, just don't brand me with that branding iron of the wrestling guy, and I can't get outside my little box, you know. So I think that's something we talked about from day one. So I think I'll be doing some other projects other than wrestling, and college football's been discussed. You know, I don't know that at what part that'll play, but, you know, something. I like the columnist thing. I like the. Now, that's a cool deal because you could do
actually,
that.
Actually, Jim, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, everybody. We will have Jim Ross here. We'll be taking your calls and talking the Royal Rumble and more about all of this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. TuneIn Radio, the website and the app, the cable radio network, the American Forces Network. And we are joined today by Hall of Famer Jim Ross. And in a few minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines, take your calls, anything you want to talk to Jim about, Royal Rumble as well. And Jim, one thing before we get into the Royal Rumble, I was thinking about the, we've talked to you many times on the show about the stress of working in WWE, and you've got a lot of projects going on right now. You've got the podcast coming up, the ringside shows we'll be talking about, the Fox deal. In a sense, it's a lot of work, but it would seem to me, kind of because I also sort of do this, when you work for yourself and you call the shots, it seems that there is a lot less stress. You're not constantly worried that, you know, my job may be on the line. What is someone going to say about this? I mean, you've got a lot more control, and it would seem like it would be significantly less stressful despite all the time you're devoting to it.
No, I think you're right. I think it's less stressful. There's going to be stress involved in anything that involves dealing with people regarding negotiations, the geography of the matter. You're talking to somebody on the phone more often. You're talking to them across the room. All that stuff. There's always going to be some challenges. However, when you're holding the rudder in the water and you're kind of directing traffic, it's a hell of a lot better than not. And sometimes we can't get to that position where we can make those calls. So I think that being with WWE certainly helped facilitate me to be able to afford to take my time and work these projects in a sensible time frame to where I don't give up my life again in that regard. So I think it's a lot less stressful, and I think that'll be good for me health-wise and the whole nine yards. So I think I try to find things, Brian and Mike, that are win-win deals. Can I provide something to the fans? The fan base has been following me for a long time that they can't get anywhere else. That they're going, and that's good. Not some BS, just go through emotions. But, you know, do good work. And I'm trying to, these one-man shows are, I love those. But, you know, the podcast, that's another animal, but it's still the same, you know, you're in the same hunt. You're still talking, communicating, entertaining, hopefully. So there's a lot, it's all of it's intertwined. And one thing creates another matters. Promotional platform. Everything can feed back to the other. It's the way it should work, you know. So that's my plan anyway. I don't wanna, hope we'll see how it goes. Next year at this time, I'll tell you if I was a dumbass or that it worked.
Now, on the topic of entertainment, tonight is the Royal Rumble, and if you had to make a pick, who's winning the Royal Rumble?
Well, I wrote, you know, a blog today. That's another social media platform for you from the master marketeer here. It's almost embarrassing sometimes.
You can't help yourself.
I know. So I can't. I can't shut it down. And so I wrote a blog, and I said that I looked at it. Unless they do something real exotic with Daniel Bryan, I see Batista winning the Royal Rumble. And I also think that sometimes, now I'm not saying that this is one of those instances because I really haven't thought about that much. I should have thought about it more before I brought this up. And what I'm bringing up is the fact that sometimes doing the obvious is not a bad thing if it's the right thing. So the only way to know if it's the right thing is to know the whole big picture plan for the duration of Batista's contract. And I don't know where his destinations are, or who he's going to be working with, or what role he's going to fulfill. Is he going to be the champion? Is he going to be the number one contender? Or what's his role? What's his lot in the cast? So I think he wins it, and he moves on to headline WrestleMania against what I'm thinking probably Randy Orton.
Now, in the odds in the UK right now, the odds are really weird right now. And obviously, in about 15 minutes, the final odds will likely come in and we'll get a decent idea since they've been very accurate in the past for whatever reason. And interestingly enough, the favorite, at least in some books, as of a half hour ago, was Daniel Bryan, who at this point is not even officially in the Royal Rumble.
Right.
So I want to get your thoughts on this because it's been a big topic of conversation. Daniel Bryan, he gets gigantic reactions, big ovations. He's very popular. There is, however, the ongoing issue, as it seems to be for many years in WWE, he does not look like a John Cena or a Randy Orton. And the question that everybody seems to have is, can Daniel Bryan be the top guy? And my argument has always been, I don't know. Let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot and see what happens. And they haven't really seemed to give him that shot. And I guess my question to you is, what are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan? And can a Daniel Bryan be a top guy?
Well, I think that, yes, Daniel Bryan could be a top guy. And I think that this is much to do about overthinking something.
Sure.
Daniel Bryan's popularity is very organic, and he's connected to the audience. You hear that on Monday nights, and virtually any part of the country you go to, you hear their support. The thing that discounts it some is that people think that the Yes Chant is a fad, and it's not really for him. It's just cool to say. And I guess that argument could be made. But I think that he's made that connection to the audience that you die for a talent to make, and no matter how he's done it, I don't care how he did it. He's connected with the audience, and that's a very real piece of business. And I think that Daniel Bryan could be, hey, look, they're working in fiction, so you're telling me you can't orchestrate scenarios where he portrays his role and he stays good in his role? Of course you can. Of course you can. It's been done for decades. It's been done for, since before I got into business. When you got, territories ran with a lot of guys that were unlikely heroes or unlikely success stories. And the only way you're going to know is to give him the damn ball and on a level playing field and see how he does. The beautiful thing about this business is that if you make an error in judgment, and we all have at different times, you can change it. You're not locked in. You have to live with it forever. It's not etched in stone. It's fiction. Tear up the paper and start over.
Jim, a guy a lot in that way is Goldust, and just because it's we're getting around the time for the pre-show to start up. And on the pre-show is the New Age Outlaws against the Rhodes Brothers. And Goldust has been absolutely amazing since he has come back. He is just absolutely been amazing with what he's been able to do. And that's not discounting what the New Age Outlaws look like and what they bring to the table. But watching Cody and Dustin together, what do you think of those two, and how good do you think they are as a team, and how good has Goldust, you know, returned?
Well, I think that they have perfected the very basic art of tag team wrestling. Don't overthink it. Tag team wrestling still worked today as it worked 10 years ago or 20 years ago, if you got great teams, and you know how to book a great team. But if you got great teams, that's where it starts. Then yeah, you got a chance to have a exciting division. But it's not because it's tag team wrestling is old school wrestling that it's not going to work. It's not going to work if you don't put the effort into it and have the talent involved in it that are good. And the Rhodes Brothers are very, very good. They're old school good. It would fit in any era. They fundamentally sound. They get it. And certainly so does Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. Their motors might not run as fast as they once did, but sometimes I think that might be a blessing as well. Sometimes a lot of guys work too fast.
We've got updated odds, by the way, for the Royal Rumble. And at this moment, Batista back to being the favorite. I don't know if the odds makers listened to Jim Ross and everything switched around.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, yeah, Batista.
We're affecting the socioeconomics.
Exactly.
Of the world.
It's crazy that the power that you still wield here over these odds.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Batista. My power and 279 will buy you some JR's barbecue sauce at the Homeland store just down the street.
Is the barbecue sauce still available on the WWE website?
Absolutely.
Very good. Very
good. And as a matter of fact, it's doing very well. We did a deal with Rob Schamberger, you know, the artist?
Yeah.
And he did a real cool portrait, and a cool may not be the word, probably isn't, now that I think about it, a cool portrait of JR. I'm talking in third person. I mean, the Deion Sanders now or the Rock, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, we did an offer where I signed a bunch of those, and they put a package together, and it was the best package we had. I'll give Rob credit for that. So WWE's been very supportive of our products. And it's a business. It's business. Business is business. And as long as it sells, it'll have shelf space.
All right. Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. All right, we'll take calls in this last segment here.
I can't hear your mute. I'm sorry if that was abrupt. But.
No, that's okay. You won't be able to hear the music, so I'll just try and jump in at the best possible moment without trying to interrupt anything. Mike, are you there? Mike's not there. Hold on, I'm going to do one thing, Jim. Stand by. I'm going to put Mike on your line.
Okay.
Hopefully he answers.
All right, that'll be better.
All right, we got you on the line now.
All right.
Nothing like live radio and technology.
You're just an engineering genius.
Running my board here.
Very ubiquitous. You're everywhere, man. Multi-talented.
I don't know about that.
This is a very important show for these guys. It really kind of... A bad night will take you out. If you're on the bubble, it'll take you out of WrestleMania consideration.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to have a bad night tonight. Tonight's not tonight to have a bad night.
Yeah. And I mean, the string of pay-per-views they've had, I mean, this pay-per-view better be... people better like this pay-per-view. Especially if the pay-per-views are your hook for the network.
Yep. Yeah, they need momentum. That's it. As simple as that.
Yeah.
Things got to keep moving positively.
Let me get the information about your one-man shows here.
There are only two of them booked, but we got more offers coming in, and we got a really a nice offer from a promoter in Australia. He's Live Nation's a concert promoter in Australia. He wants to do several dates, several, like five.
Yeah, for some reason, we got tons of Australian listeners. U.S., Canada, U.K., and Australia are all really...
You know, and I gotta get my guys on the deal, too. They gotta look, you know, why don't we play Toronto? At least play Toronto.
Yeah.
Not more. We gotta start being a little bit, you know, smarter. I'm not really fun to work for when I'm the client. You know, they screwed up the Ticketmaster information this weekend. I'm on the VIP ticketing for the House of Blues.
All right, hold on. Stand by. Here we go. About 25 seconds. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and the legendary Jim Ross is here on the air. We've been talking the WWE Royal Rumble and a number of other topics. Phone lines are open. You want to talk to Jim Ross? 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. Anything on your mind, give us a call. And Jim, during the break, we were talking, very important night for WWE tonight.
Yeah, you know, if you're a talent there, you don't want to have a bad night at the Royal Rumble, because the decision-making for WrestleMania 30 in this particular case is still ongoing, one has to assume. It's almost a fluid process till showtime quite often. And so you don't want to have a bad night tonight, and you don't want that to affect the planning for WrestleMania in any shape, form, or fashion. And for those that think that can't happen, you know, you're being naive. And so tonight is a big night for all the talent to have a great night. You know, go out and have a, no matter what your role is, you know, maximize those minutes, as I say sometimes, probably too much, but you got to go play tonight. And if your role is to get somebody over and you're looked to, you know, you're going to be bouncing around for 2 minutes, then bounce. If your role is to do something else, you know, understand what your role is, what you contribute to the show, and bring it. And so it'd be interesting to see who tonight brings it, because some guys will have a little bit more pep in their step. This can't be just another pay-per-view. Can't not. So we'll see.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air with Jim Ross, Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Matt from Phoenix.
Matt, what's up?
Oh, I just want to say it's a great honor and pleasure to talk to Mr. Ross, and I just wanted to get his input on a couple things. Number one, if you think CM Punk will resign with WWE this summer, his contract's up. And also, why is it the reluctance of Vince to really push guys like Punk and Bryan when they're genuinely over with the fans more than most guys he's tried to push down their throats for years? Why is it that he just doesn't want to give them the ball?
Well, you're asking, first of all, what was the first question again?
Will CM Punk resign?
Oh, you know, I get the feeling that he's a little bit burnt. And I get the feeling that he probably needs a timeout and take some time off, recharge his batteries. That's unofficial. It's no, you know, I think that he's been going hard. He works a very physical style. He doesn't take a night off either in that regard. He works hard. You know, and you can't work hard and physical for that many years and not take a toll at some point. I think it might not be a bad idea for him to take a little time out and recharge, but, you know, who knows? So there's that. I would lean more on the no. They don't immediately re-sign him, then they probably will re-sign him after he takes some time off. And what was the other question?
Mike, do you remember the second question?
No, I didn't actually.
All right, we'll go to the next caller. And by the way, Mike, if you get an update on the pre-show match, let us know. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas. How are you guys?
What's up, Danny?
Hey, Jim, I know you're a big college football fan, and so this may be a little blasphemy, but since I'm a Longhorns fan,
all right.
What's your thoughts on Charlie Strong? Of course, you must have read the meeting that he had with his players about the strict rules that he has, like how he's turning this, you know, this country club program into like probably a serious contender.
Yeah, I like it. If I were you guys, I'd love it, because, first of all, they made a great hire, Texas did, And I was somewhat reluctant to buy in that Texas was going to hire an African American or another ethnicity other than Caucasian. And I just didn't know if they were ready to make that step, a positive step as it is. Charlie Strong is a great football coach, and he's going to have men playing for him. They're going to go to class. They're going to have physical football. I like it. They're structured back there. And they got a bunch of five-star kids they brought in there that didn't pan out. And they had a bunch of NFL quarterbacks from Texas that they didn't even recruit. So the structure there at Texas has to change for them to get to where they want to go. I think he's the guy to get it done.
All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Patrick from Rochester.
What's up, Patrick?
Hey, it's an honor to speak to both you and Jim Ross.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted a question for Jim. If anybody that he has ever tried to recruit over the last, throughout his career, who didn't want to come into the professional wrestling business that he really thought really could have taken off and been something really huge?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. Well, golly, there's been so many guys we got close on that just wasn't for them at the end of the day. I'm thinking that there's anybody that we didn't get. There's some amateur guys that just didn't have the personality. They didn't think to do it. I can't think of anybody Ross a name, but there have been guys. I mean, that's a real good question. So I'm going to go crazy.
Well, let me ask you this question about that. Sometimes you see someone that has been signed by WWE, and for whatever reason they end up getting cut. And sometimes you think, well, you know, is that the best reason to cut this guy? I mean, maybe he wasn't a great talker now, but maybe he would have been a great talker later. I mean, what if they would have cut John Cena when he was, you know, before he did that rap for Stephanie on the bus? Where would we be if they'd cut him? I guess my question to you is, John Cena didn't get cut. You know what I mean? And when you hear about these guys that did get cut, I mean, do we really lose potential future superstars, or is there almost always, in your opinion, pretty good reason they got cut and they probably weren't going to make it anyway?
Well, I can speak for my tenure. You know, I always believe that there was a good reason that we let people go that we let go. And sometimes the reasons are not, in my view, for public consumption. You want to protect guys and their families. And,
sure.
And, you know, it's just, but nobody ever just went on a day, well, let's throw the dart, you know, the old dartboard thing. Just put names up there and throw the darts. And this, you know, no, there was always a rhyme and reason behind it. And letting people go is not a cool facet of the job, you know, trust me. But there was generally a reason. You know, the thing about it, what the in the management side, is you're dying for somebody to get over, and you're dying for guys to step up and get better at what they do in development and in the performance center and things of that nature. So, I mean, your life is so much easier if you got a lot of guys that are over than fighting your ass off to get one or two guys over. And, you know, this is a year in 2014 that WWE's got a, they have some young guys they're providing an opportunity to that really need to raise their game and take that big step and eat at the grown-up table all year. And learn how to be a main eventer and to draw people, sell tickets, do the whole thing. And it's not easy. And so, but they got some really good young prospects that kind of make your, you know, feel good about. So it's a matter of committing to them creatively and getting them the ball, figuring them in the playbook, figuring them in the game plan. They're figured in. That's the only way you're going to know. Like you said earlier about somebody, how do you know they're going to be? You don't know until you try things.
Sure.
And that's the beautiful part about great bookers. And I know working for Watts, we could have one direction going, and he, in a matter of a weekend, the whole damn direction of the territory changed. Because you can do that if you have that all-powerful weapon called an eraser.
To the phones, we've got Francis from the UK. Francis, what's going on?
All right, there, Francis from England. I want to say first thing that if you get a chance to see Jim Ross live in, like, in the US, you should do. From the UK, I went to watch his show in Manchester, and it's one of the best shows I recommend.
Did you set this up here, Jim?
No, sir.
Excellent plug. Go ahead, Francis.
The main question I want to ask him, well, there's like two things. Are you ever going to come back to the UK again to another tour? But the other question I want to ask, what did you think about TNA announced that Kurt Angle's going into the Hall of Fame at Wembley in England? So I just want to know if you've got any thoughts about it.
All right.
Well, I am, question one, Francis, we had some conversations just last week about another trip to the UK. They're very casual at this point in time, but I think that the success that we had there before, we're very appreciative and thankful, and so obviously we're looking at going back there. So I just don't know about it, I don't know when. Later this year, hopefully, there's some markets that we didn't play before. I think Kurt Angle going to the TNA Hall of Fame is great. Kurt should be in every Hall of Fame that's available to him. He's, you know, as a wrestler in that world, he should be. There's not a Hall of Fame, pro or amateur, that he shouldn't be in or strongly considered for. I'd say the same thing about Danny Hodge. Kurt has the opportunity, because of his time in the business, that he may be able to get in all those halls of fame. Hodge may not, because he was in the era before national cable and things of that nature, which is unfortunate, sad. But for Danny Hodge not to be in the WWE Hall of Fame is, you know, something I hope will change, because he's in every other Hall of Fame in the world in wrestling.
Now, on the topic of the live shows, by the way, I want to make sure we talk about Ringside, an evening with Jim Ross. We've got a bunch of shows coming up, actually. Day afternoon shows. March 1st in New York at the Gramercy Theater. March 1st, there's a 4 o'clock show and an 8 o'clock show. That's March 1st in New York City. And for those of you going to WrestleMania, and I know a lot of you listening right now are heading to WrestleMania, you can check out Jim Ross April 3rd, the House of Blues in New Orleans, Louisiana. He is going to be there at 6:30 p.m. for the early show and 9:30 p.m. for the late show. So I know that I'm going to one of these shows at least, and we're going to try and set up some... we're going to try and get a bunch of people from the website to your shows, basically, is what I'm saying, JR. So if you're a That's member great. Of the website, just stick around, and we'll give you more information on that in the coming weeks. But so a lot of shows coming up, and you've got more to come. All of this up at jrsbarbecue.com. And tell everybody a little bit here about the live shows.
Well, the live show is part... there's some humor there, at least attempts at it. There's some poignant moments that, you know, that get brought up in the performance of this presentation. So I think some things you hope that people take as inspirational or motivational. So those things are good. You know, you start out as a kid in Eastern Oklahoma, only child, and how do you get in the pro wrestling business? Then once you get in the pro wrestling business, how in God's name are you able to go 40 years? So we talk about that journey, and it's kind of a unique journey that I had. So it's not like anybody else's, because I never wanted to be a wrestler. I never was a wrestler. So how do you have a 40-year career in the wrestling business if you're not a wrestler or an in-ring performer of some kind? It's very hard. I'll answer that question for you. So we talk about that, and then the Q&As are great because really you get to interact with the audience, and it's very personal and very one-on-one. And
you never know what's coming.
No, it's great. And no questions off-limits. They can ask anything they want. And then we do the meet and greets, and I don't do the meet and greets like the cattle calls. I just don't believe that people, they pay their money, that you should, you know, treat them like a circus animal, as Bret Hart would say, and move them through the line. So that's not going to be my mission there either. So the shows are fun. I mean, I had a blast in the UK. As a matter of fact, this Friday I'm speaking to a group of college students, 650 students at Western Carolina State University, in a kind of a motivational.
Actually, hold that thought, Jim. We'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Final segment here on the show before the Royal Rumble kicks off. And Mike, very quickly, new tag team champions?
Yeah, they most certainly are. The New Age Outlaws are the new tag team champions. When Billy Gunn blind tagged himself in, Cody Rhodes went for the disaster kick on Road Dogg, hit it. But as soon as he got up from that, Billy Gunn hit him with the Famouser, and the New Age Outlaws are the new tag team champions.
There you go. We've had Jim Ross on the show for the last 45 minutes. Excellent job on the program. And in the next 3 hours, JR is going to be live tweeting the Royal Rumble. If you are not following JR on Twitter, it's virtually impossible, actually, given the number of followers he has. But you can check it out. JR's BBQ. That is the Twitter handle. And the easiest place to go for all of this is jrsbarbecue.com. If you Google Jim Ross, it's right there at the very top. And when you head up there, there's all the information you're going to need. All of the upcoming events, the New York shows on March 1st. There's an evening and an afternoon program, 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock p.m. in New York at the Gramercy Theater. And on April 3rd in New Orleans, it is the House of Blues. There's a 6:30 p.m. and a 9:30 p.m. show. And, Jim, I want to thank you so much today, and best of luck on everything.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Mike. You know, Brian, that show in New Orleans is the Thursday night of WrestleMania week.
That's right.
That's the best way to remember it. And some people are going to be in town and some aren't. You got to be 18 to attend, but all the tickets for all my shows at Ticketmaster.com.
Ticketmaster.com, as well as JR'sBarbecue.com. So head up there to Twitter. I'll be live tweeting at Brian Alvarez. Semper Vivi probably live tweeting at Semper Vivi. And Jim Ross, of course, at JR's Barbecue. And don't forget, after the Royal Rumble tonight, if you've not heard enough of my voice for one day, immediately following the Royal Rumble, a live Brian and Vinny show. It'll be up at f4wlive.com. You can stream it free anywhere in the world. And all of this is also linked up at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. I want to thank Jim Ross and Mike Sempervivi, as always, the listeners of the show. Producer Scott for everything that he does. Everybody at Sports Byline, we will be back again next week. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.